Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is June the 5th, Sunday, 2022. And I have the honor to have Preacher Man on with us and Professor Joel. Now, we're not going to do a lengthy show here today. It's going to be a short show because I have some other issues that have to be dealt with. But I think that it's important because Preacher Man and I were talking yesterday, and I think it's important, and Joel does too, for people to have the understanding and power you need right now with Jesus Christ and by His blood, by His stripes. And the power that we're up against is the other side. And it's very important right now. And I've tried to bring you as much information on my website on breaking news about the Galactic Federation as an example and all this crap that's been going on that people don't know about, the human race, basically. It's been hidden from you. And their New World Order agenda. Now, I had a friend, NSA Super Spook, and you can look on my radio bar and you'll find him. And breaking news page someplace, just put in Otis Johnson. But he told me, because he was NSA when he died, but he told me, he said that with CERN, the super collider, that they're able to see in space-time, and they saw that between late 2021 and into 2025, there would be two stars would hit the Earth, and there would be a big fireball smack it by 2025 for sure. And he said they saw that through the super collider in Switzerland. Now you look it up on the internet, there's a lot of information out there about it, but we're in end times, period. I mean, we're up there to where what some things in reference in the Bible are true, others are what I consider to be dispensationalism, like Joe has tried to explain to everybody, even me, have a bigger understanding because he's a professor, should we say, in this field. So with that said, I'm going to let Joe pick it up. And Joe, I want you to shoot some questions at the Preacher Man as well. But I'm going to let you pick it up for a minute.
I think the best thing to do on this is that Mike has probably some points that he wants to make to open up this conversation and facilitate it to an area where some people who have questions concerning particularly Revelation 13, Revelation 16, and Revelation 19. And so, Mike, I think you have some points that you would like to make, which would establish where your belief system is, where you're coming from in the Bible. So go ahead, Mike. Let us in on where you are in relationship to those points that I was just saying.
Well, first off, you gotta know Yeshua, Jesus. I call him Yeshua because that's his name, and there's power in that name. Yah is the Father's name, and it means sovereign, and Shua means redeemer. So it's pronounced Yeshua, and that's what everybody called him because that was his name. So I look at it like once you know his name, if you call him Jesus, it's like calling my cousin Bob or Joe or Paul, if that's not his name. And there's power in his name. He said, I come in my Father's name and you believe me not. But someone else will come in their name and you'll believe them. And that's when he started talking about the Antichrist and said, so, you know, you'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. And if someone says, there he is, don't believe him. And if someone says there he is, because there's many antichrists in the world today, and you're either on the Lord's side or you're not. There is no in between. There's no fence. If you've ever tried to walk on a fence, it doesn't end well. and you can't walk on the fence because you're going to fall on the devil's side or the Lord's side. If you fall in between, you're going to get hurt real bad. And it just works that way. And so when you're on God's side, you really got to believe. I mean, that's the whole key is Jesus says you have not because you ask not. And then if you look at what he says after that, what he's basically saying is, and then when you do ask, you don't believe I'll give it to you, so why should I? And the book of James reiterates that with a man that wavers won't get anything from God. And you know, James is important because he talks about what we speak, we set in motion. You got to remember that in your prayer life, too, because you're talking to the man directly. And it's like, you really got to I put thought into prayer before I say it. And a lot of times when I'm speaking to people, like right now, I just kind of let God do his thing through my heart and voice. And that's where I'm at with prayer. And it's like, I have my prayer times, and then I have my times that I have a conscious contact with God all day long. You know, it's like he's here with me constantly. He won't leave me. And I know that. And so knowing that, I talk to him all the time like he's sitting right here, you know. So some people think I'm nuts, but that's okay. I am nuts for Jesus. So
I think what you're pointing out here is that what Stu and I try to get over during these times of tribulation, there's really only one source of where you can find your comfort. And that is in Yeshua. And through his blood, you are saved, which I base my belief on, which is Hebrews 9:13, because in there it states, now this is not for Mike, but for the audience. It states in that on Hebrews 9:13 that Jesus took his blood into the Holy of Holies in a temple not built with hands. And we can call upon that blood to come to us and to make use of us in this world and this time of tribulation. And so I think that what Mike is pointing out here is when these times come up, and they're coming up very quickly right now, particularly in the area of by Pier Southwest in Phoenix, where we're at right now, there are two main sources of electricity for the Phoenix area and the Arizona area. Particularly, I should also include on this New Mexico, parts of Colorado, parts of Utah, parts of Nevada.
Water as well.
And including, as Stu says here, water. Now, because we are in a 12-year drought here in the Southwest, the water levels at Lake Powell are now down to an area where it's just almost below the intakes of where the water enters into the dam, into the funnels, into turn the turbines, which produces the electricity. It is now getting down to the level where it's going to be below that, and there will be no electricity. And the same thing is almost ready to happen at Lake Mead. So a plan has been made for the next 12 months in which they are going to provide water for Lake Powell from different sources to keep it at a certain level. They will not feed off the extra water to Lake Powell. The same thing will be done for Lake Powell, where they will provide water from other dams to do what they have to do. But it's only going to last for 12 months.
Now that's Lake Mead you're talking about. Lake Powell's above Lake Mead.
No. For both.
Oh, okay.
Both. And so it is now to the point, if something doesn't change in the next 12 months, you'll have a choice. Either water or electricity. You can't have both.
Now, with a major drought like this, if I may real quick, I mean, we're talking about the relocation of a heck of a lot of people out of California. So they're exiting now. And the economy and everything else and the prices and all are driving a lot came to your area in Arizona. And I mean, it's like Tent City in Prescott, I believe, and some other areas. But they're going to be driven out of there. They're going to be driven over here to the Midwest. And we're having the opposite effect over here. I mean, they got us hitting us with HARP consistently, which is weather modifications. And they're doing the same thing with a big shield, I believe, over that whole area of the Southwest and West. Go ahead, Joe or Mike.
Yeah. Hold on a sec. I dropped something I'm looking for.
I mean, we got all these problems we're facing between now and the big fireball, as Otis Johnson said, CERN, he saw that they saw a big fireball hit planet Earth by 2025. And it could be before then, but we were going to be pelleted with two stars. And these are the asteroids that are in Wormwood in Revelations 13, I believe it is, Joe, and also its sister star. Okay, that's going to cause havoc on the planet. Plus, we got them going around shooting everybody with needles and got, what, 70% now, Joe, of the people populated with the COVID viruses. And now they're coming up with monkeypox and the other strains of hepatitis that they're giving the kids and the whole bit. So, I mean, what are we being hit with, folks? These are plagues. But where does it come from? Joe, explain dispensationalism to them a little bit for a moment, please.
Well, that I can't. I don't make the connection between COVID, because COVID is a really an acronym for scientific letters, C period, O period, V period, I period, D period, COVID. It is a scientific acronym, and it is not an antiviral shot. It is something that goes, that they have in that shot that will go in and mess with your immune system, producing an excessive amount of spikes, which are used by your immune system to go after different viruses. But instead, because there's no real viruses, it goes after different bodily organs. And right now, they're not saying anything, but all hospitals are absolutely overloaded with people coming in with heart attacks, with people coming in with internal bleeding. And it is those people who received the received the biological shot. Now, let me give you an example of what is in that shot. I don't know it all, but Dr. Judy Mechlovitz, whose team led the way back before 2011 in developing this biological weapon. And she was on a recent show in which she explained a little bit of it.
I have a video on my website, folks. Go ahead, Joe.
Hang on, sister. So what happened is that she explained that what she did was, and her team, is that they took animal DNA, including cobra venom, and they were able to take parts of a fetus and put it into the lining. That goes to make up part of what goes into you when you're given the shot. It is not an antiviral vaccine. And so what we have now is that we have people that are developing these horrible, horrible things. Their body is dysfunctioning. There's been a lot of death. And according to certain postings, there's here in the United States, they're really lying. They're not telling the truth. There's over 2 million dead.
Now, if we got a big star going to hit us, and they can see it in CERN by 2025, it looks to me like Revelations, like you said, 13, 16, and 19, there's some things happening out of there. Now, the power of prayer makes a difference, folks. If enough people are awake to the problem and are praying against the enemy, Christ is going to reveal himself at some point, but it keeps and it allows him to us to wake up others as watchmen or whatever you want to call us, to wake up others into understanding what we're up against. This is good versus evil. There's no in between anymore. Mike, you want to pick it up for a minute, or Joe?
Well, I've always said there is no in between on anything. It's like with God, when it comes to God, you're either with him or against him. And if you read the signs of the times in Matthew, it reads like a newspaper. You know? Kingdom shall rise up against kingdom and nation against nation. He says not to be concerned with these things. And the reason is he says they have to happen, but that's not the end yet. That's just the beginning of the birth pains. And so it's going to get majorly bad. People don't understand how bad it's going to be in America. I listened to a man named David Wilkerson, who I believe was a prophet, because a lot of the things he said would happen has happened. And he said that he had a vision that the U.S. would be taken out in an hour by fire from heaven. Well, he wasn't real explicit about it, except he backed it up with what was in Ezekiel. And he also talked about how, I'm not sure where it's at in the Bible, but I've read it, where the eagle was plucked down before nations and everybody mourned, but not because she was gone, but only because they couldn't do business with her anymore. And that's why they were upset she was gone. They hated her. And we're the most hated nation on earth. You know, part of it has to do with what you said, you know, the powers that be that control all the money. And we won't get into that today, but they make things happen because their father is Lucifer, and he's still the king of this world until Jesus comes back. And truly, Jesus is the king. If he's your Lord and Savior, he's your king. And Lucifer is not, but he is the God of this world. He comes as an angel of light. He controls all the light in heavens, in the heavens. And, you know, I have my own analogies and beliefs on why the Aztecs' calendar only goes so far and this and that. And, I mean, I've read so many books on it. It gets confusing sometimes. So I go to God a lot, and I let God show me things or tell me things. And the trick is to be quiet and let him speak, because a lot of us pray and then we say he doesn't answer us, but it's because we didn't hear him. We weren't listening. When I lost my leg, if I would have been listening, it wouldn't have happened, you know, but I wasn't listening. And I put my fingers in my ears because I didn't want to hear. And, you know, it's just like there's consequences when you don't do what the Lord says. And it's not that he's mean, because he's so loving. There's no love like him, you know. He is love, pure love and truth. And it's so awesome to find that out and feel it and know him. And you can go to him any time of day or night. And it's nice to know he's there and you can go to him. You know, when my wife died, if I hadn't had Jesus, I couldn't have made it through it. There's no way. And then to lose my leg, you know, a little before that. And it's like, it's just been one turmoil after another, you know, my whole life. And it's like, I realized, I read a letter that my mom wrote before she died that I had never gotten until my dad died. And she had prayed me into existence because my father wanted a son and he had two daughters. And my mom knew it would kill her to have another kid. They told her that. She had a hole in her heart. And so she went ahead and prayed me into existence anyways. And then she went as far as to ask God to use me mightily in this life. And I kind of took it jestingly as a joke, you know, like, yeah, right, he's using me so much, you know. And it's like, but like my ex-wife, I mean, like my wife said before she died, she said, I've always been a good example of a bad example. And, but that doesn't mean the Lord rejects me or don't want to help me. Or, I mean, the Lord is always there for me. And there's not a thing he doesn't answer, because sometimes the answer is no, but there's not one thing I've ever asked him he didn't answer. But it does start with prayer. Actually, it starts with your relationship with him. If you don't know him, you better get to know him.
Because time's ending right now. Now, Joe, you want to kick in on this?
Well, it's just what Mike said. This man has gone through some terrible times of tribulation, and without Jesus, he would not have made it. And we're coming up right now into very perplexing times. And you, it is a must to have Jesus into your life, because that is going to be the only respite that we will have. And Mike is a testimony of that, of what he has had to go through.
I'll tell you, what I go through is bizarre too. Always. You go through bizarre stuff, Joe. But power of prayer. And Joe's a prayer warrior. He goes out there and chases the enemy and makes sure he prays against them on satanic holidays and full moons. And I mean, that's probably what's helping this planet. Everybody else that listens to this program, spread it. Other people need to start doing it, because we are at a time that it's going to be really tough. And without the Holy Spirit, if you don't have him, and you keel or you get killed, because we are going to, there's a high probability we could have a nuclear war, but it doesn't have to happen. Enough people pray against it, pray against the new world order, and by the blood of Jesus Christ, by his stripes, hit your Father in heaven, It changes a lot of things. And when you pray for somebody's salvation, it changes things. If people would start praying for all the congressmen and senators and all the federal judges and federal cops and all the cops on the streets and all of them for their salvation, you'll watch what happens. There'll be a bunch of them dead in a short period of time. I guarantee you that. I've seen it with a judge's son and a prosecutor's son because I prayed for their salvation. And both of them had sons that were killed. And it was in relation to them setting me up, and they dropped the charges against me over it both times. One went to the public defender's office that I was using in Las Vegas because of Ted Gunderson and his lies, his buddy's lies, it wasn't his. I assaulted him. The point was, the prosecutor goes to the public defender's office crying with the dismissal on me in hand, saying that God said he was going to kill him before the end of the day like he did his son if he didn't dismiss the charges against me. Assault and battery. That's the kind of power of prayer, because I've been praying for salvation. And a public defender called me. She said, "You're a holy man." I said, "I'm not a holy man," because I've been praying for her salvation, ensure that she didn't double cross me. Okay? Because we had a case and beat it to death. It was hilarious. That's the power of prayer. I've seen Baphomet, the gold-headed demon. In the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus Christ, command you out here now, say, bam, he was gone. Broke the front door down. That was when I was married to Carrie, the witch doctor, Mike, down there in Dallas before my daughter was born. But anyway, yeah, so anyway, we've been friends for a long time, Mike and I. But here's the point. The power of prayer is the most effective thing that we as patriot Americans, as Americans, can do in helping others is praying, and pray for your enemy by asking for their salvation earnestly. And all you have to do is command it. Ask it once, command it to be done. It's done. Period. It gets done. Now, you know, I prayed for a while, and God's taught me the power of prayer in different ways and to teach others. And I could set an example of the power of prayer with four kids in Las Vegas who all's prayers were answered within 4 weeks after me recognizing the Holy Spirit, because two or more came together, a mother, her son, and the three kids that ran around with her son that she wanted a little prayer session with. So she invited me over for dinner, and we had dinner, and we prayed with these kids. It was miraculous what happened. First one, he wanted to know if hell was real. Then the next one, he tells me he wants a new pair of tennis shoes because he couldn't find them his 13 size or whatever it was, the kind he wanted. Another one, he said he wanted peace at his home. And another one said, or the third one said, he wanted the power of healing. I said, whoa. The fourth one, he wanted peace at home. Turns out to be the first one, I said, "Well, I can't ask it for you. I can pray with you, but I can't ask it. You want it to be done? You got to ask it, not me." Like all these people running to preachers, asking, going up the pulpit and faking blowing over and stuff. I mean, this is ridiculous. No, the power of prayer is in your hands. Now, you can ask somebody to confirm with you, and that helps. It does. Because I've seen it with me, doing it with others. But the power of prayer, I told his kids, "You got to pray yourself." So the first one, he said, "No, I don't want to pray. I go to hell. I want to see heaven." So he prayed for heaven. The next one, he prayed for his shoes. The third one, he prayed for the power of healing. And the fourth one, he prayed for the family situation. Calm down at home. Well, it turns out to be the first one, his prayers answered within a short period of time, because Lisa, my friend, calls me and tells me about what had happened. That he came over there and telling her that he had this vision and the whole bit. He saw pearly gates 20 feet high or 14, 16, 20 feet high. Archangels standing there, all gold, gold sidewalk. Anyway, here was the point. Second one, he gets a new pair of tennis shoes. He goes over to some other shoe store. She said, "Well, sir, I don't have those in your size, but here, let me look in the computer." He gets two pair of tennis shoes. His mother didn't take child support payments. She gave it directly to the kid, and he had an account. He bought his own stuff, some things like that. So he got two pairs of tennis shoes. The third one, Azaldi, he comes over screaming and yelling on Saturday morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, walking over there to Lisa's house and her son, and says, "You can't believe what happened. Can't believe what happened. I saw you come through the hallway here." They had a big, nice home, 2,200 square foot ranch, three-car garage. Anyway, long hallway, entryway into a great room, big room, and then a small family room off the back end. But here was the point. Her son did break dancing. And he did it on his head. He was a champion in Las Vegas. Won't get into it. All of a sudden, he thumps. And she sees him. She runs over. You okay? You okay? He wasn't okay. Broke his neck or something. He was about out of it. He was knocked out. So she's screaming for her mom who lived with her. And she was single. Kids. So she comes running and calls 911 and the whole bit. Well, you know, they come back over and they're praying over him and the whole bit. And then he gets up out of nowhere for the 911 shows up. And they check him out and everything and said he was okay and left. But the point was, here's Zaldi on a Saturday morning after that happened on Friday night. And he's screaming and yelling at 10 o'clock in the morning. I came over and he says, I saw you run over because you screamed into your mom, 911. He says, I ran over real quick. I put my hand on him and prayed over him. He says, he got up. We had a vision of that. And then the fourth one, he had a problem because his dad lost a job. And all of a sudden they were out of money and they couldn't afford to pay the payments. Well, the dad got a job getting double the amount of money. That was the power of prayer. Because all I did was ask God to confirm what these kids are saying. But I said, there's an agreement you got to make with Jesus Christ, God Almighty. That you start serving him if he answers your prayer. As far as I know, all the kids are serving him. Just thought I'd mention that.
The Lord gave me something to bring up. And I am only bringing this up because it's very important. Most people in the United States, especially younger kids, people my age, I'm 60, in school, we never learned past page 3 of the Constitution, so I never read it. Nobody did, you know. And it was like, if you read the Constitution, it's a covenant with God. And we're the only nation on earth that ever cut a covenant with God like that, we made Israel, but beside the Jews. And it was like, you know, we're grafted in Jews, you might as well say. At least that's what I believe, if you belong to Jesus. But it's important that you have a special relationship with him. It's like a marriage. He told me marriage and salvation are a mirror image of each other. And he told me that the bride, he refers to himself as the husbandman, Yeshua does, and he calls the church the bride. Now, if the husbands in America would treat their wives like Christ treats the church, with unconditional love, we're required to, agape love, then, and the wives were subservient to their husbands. I don't mean slaves. I mean subservient. Not to worship their husbands, but they're supposed to, it's a partnership, of course. But the head of the house is the husband. And the reason is because he's accountable to God. And it's like the wife isn't, but sometimes the husband is saved and the kids because of the wife. Because whatever the wife is the heir of the home. And what I mean by heir is, like, if the wife's in a happy, happy mood, then the whole house is going to be in a happy, happy mood. And if the wife is not in a good mood, nobody in the house is going to be in a good mood. And I've seen it with my own two eyes after 27 years of marriage. You know, it was like, that's exactly what happens. And I thought it was important to let people know, read that Constitution and find out what it says. Because it's real important we hold to the covenant. If you read what happens to any kingdom, nation, tongue, person, anybody that ever broke the covenant with God, what happens? And it's not good. And so we don't want to break the Constitution. Everybody wants to do away with it. It's been suspended since Roosevelt suspended it, and they pick and choose what they want out of it. But it's still a valid document. It's a covenant that we cut with Christ that will never... It will never be ended. I mean, it's a covenant is a covenant, you know, and it's like salvation. Once you're saved, I don't believe you're always saved because you can denounce Christ or you can go the other way and fall. But I do believe that once you're his, you're always his, like any other father. He'll raise you like a father. You know, we sit there and we blame God for child neglect. And it's like because he doesn't do things for us that we want him to do, but he sees beyond what we can see. And he knows that if he gives you that, it's not going to be good or end well. And so sometimes the answer is no. And it's like, but we need to understand we're under a covenant with God, not just the personal one with Jesus. You know, Jesus is the only way to get to the Father. And it's the only way to get to be in paradise is through Jesus. And I learned this with the rich man and Lazarus story that Jesus told. And the man was in torment, you know, the rich man, he's in total torment. And he asked, he said, Father Abraham, let Lazarus dip his finger in water to cool my tongue, because this place is unbearable. It's hot and there's no water. And he said, I can't. He said, and besides, he said, on earth you had everything and Lazarus had nothing. And he said, now Lazarus has everything and you have nothing. And he says, well, let me go back and tell my brothers about this place. And he said, they have the prophets, and if they're not going to believe the prophets or the writings, the teachings, then they're not going to believe anyone that comes back from the dead. And you know, if you think about it, he was talking about Jesus. And when someone rises from the dead, because the only two people that have ever been brought from the dead is Lazarus, when Jesus raised him, and Jesus. And so, you know, Elijah never died. He was just caught up into the air. So, you know, with chariots of fire, he was taken to heaven. So, you know, as far as I know, the only two people ever rose was Jesus and Lazarus. Unless you read something in there I didn't find.
Joe, you want to add to that?
I think Mike is doing just fine in saying the right words, because this is the time right now that the great tribulation time has started here, and I think it's a good idea that the two of you periodically come on there and preach, because there are some people out there that these words need to be said, because Mike has been through his time of tribulation.
It started before I was born. I was born at 5.5 months. I was taken out of my mother, so I wasn't even developed.
When did your mother die, Mike? Was it at birth or just shortly thereafter?
Yeah, it was a C-section, and I wasn't supposed to live. They didn't even have an incubator in the room. And my dad said the fact I didn't die, he never saw asses and elbows move so fast is what he told me. He said those nurses went and got an incubator and got me in it. I live. Yep. I'm here. I'm talking. I'm 60 years old.
And your testimony to Jesus Christ.
I'm here.
Yeah. And your testimony to Jesus Christ. Now, Joe, tell them about some of the stories real quick, because I don't want to take too much longer, because I got to fix my car. Here's the point. Is that I want you to add to this and about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I was just going to say there's no power like the blood of Jesus. It's the most powerful thing there is. Or, you know, except God the Father, you know, but they're all, I like St. Patrick's three-leaf clover explanation of God. You know, it's like a three-leaf clover because it's one clover leaf, but there's three equal parts. And so it's like, you know, I really like that explanation. So when I'm talking to people, I try to remember that analogy of the clover, because that's how God is. He's three in one. He's three separate in one. You know, I've never seen the word Trinity in the Bible. I've never seen it. Maybe in a revised version, but in the 1611, which is what I use, the authorized, because that's the one God gave our nation. And that's the one the covenant was cut out of. So that's the one I use. And if you want to know what the words mean in it, buy a Strong's Concordance, or if you got a computer, get the program, but make sure it's got the old Hebrew and the Greek lexicon in it.
Good point. Now, what would be your last words, Mike? I think you've given a heck of a testimony to Christ. What would be your last words?
My last words would be, don't trust man, trust God. Don't ever trust man, trust God. Man will let you down every time. Not on purpose, usually, but I will. I do, too. And I don't mean to be dishonest at times, and I end up being dishonest because I say things I shouldn't, and, you know, I'm not a fortune teller. I'm not a predictor. I shouldn't say things are going to happen because of the book of James. Like I said, what you speak, you set in motion. There's a lot of little things to learn as a Christian. That's why he started the baby. He says, come to me as a baby. And the reason he says that is come as a child is because children will believe anything. And you have to have that kind of open mind to understand God. He said he would hide the word from the wise. So the smarter you are, the less you know about God is what I've realized looking at people and watching people my whole life. Was a salesman for a long time, so I met all kinds of people. And, yeah, that's how people are. And See, put God first. Trust God. Don't trust man. Put Christ. Try to live your life in and through Christ in everything you do. I had a preacher tell me once about our life is a bird nest. And most of us, before we come to Jesus, we have, if we know who he is, or we've heard of him, we have him in our back pocket. And we pull him out in an emergency, like when we get pulled over or someone's going to hurt us or this and that. And that's the only time we talk to him. And then when you get to know him, all of a sudden someone tells you he's your best friend, so you're side by side. Well, that's not what he wanted either. You know, he is the king. And he wants his deity. And so he's first in this bird nest. He's in front of you. And so you live your life in and through him. You know? Everything you do, from good to bad, live in and through him. Just realize he's watching. He knows. There's two judgments. Most people don't know there's two separate judgments. There's the judgment seat of Christ, and then there's the great white throne you don't want to be at. And because that's where you get judged against the books of your life. And you don't want to be there. So get to know Jesus and be at his judgment seat. And you're not going to escape judgment, because he's going to come up to you and say, why do you call me Lord when you don't do the things I tell you to do? You know, and we know he's going to say that. And that's just a given. And it's like, the only answer is because I'm yours. Because I'm yours. And you know me. And it's like, I know you. And if you don't know me, or if you don't know you, he's going to tell you, depart from me, I never knew you. And a lot of people are going to be surprised, because they laid hands on the sick and they recovered. They spoke in tongues. They did all these things that they were supposed to do. And in the end, Jesus said, he said multitude, which if you look in the Strong's, it means uncountable. You can't count it. It's like the sands of the beach or the stars in the sky. Can't count them. But he said that many people are going to come up to him on that day and say, here I am, Lord. You're finally here. We've been waiting for you. We've been, you know, we did this, this, and this in your name. And we did this and this and this. And he stopped them and he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So you got to get to know Jesus personally, like a marriage. You know, so you got to get to know him that personally. And he's a gentleman. He'll only come in as much as you'll let him. You know, just like the devil only has the power over you that you let him have, then Christ, you know, he'll only come in as much as you let him. He's not going to force himself on you.
That's a good point, Mike. Very good point. Joe, you want to add to this?
I think that there's some people out there, there's a person and persons out there that Mike's words are touching. And so I'm quite sure there's going to be some people that have are being helped right now by these words from Mike, and that the two of you will do a program again, maybe even once a week.
Yeah, we're good. Like all three that. Of us. All three of us.
You're asking, Stu. You're asking what can be done. Well, Mike here provides a means by which people can hang on to something during this time of tribulation. And I would make it a point that maybe once a week, maybe every 2 weeks, whatever Mike wants to do, the two of you come on and let Mike preach to the people.
There you go. I think that's a good conclusion. Good conclusion. Now, Mike, you want to end this? Because I've got to fix my car, folks, and I want you to end it with prayer, Mike, for this country.
That's what I was going to ask. Can I end it with prayer?
Yes, please, do.
Father God, we just come before you. You are so wonderful. There is no one like you. No one. You've shown me over and over how much love you are. It makes me weep when I think of what you did for me, and I still can't be good, no matter how hard I try. And I still fail. But you're still there with your arms open, and you tell me it's okay, and you dust me off, and you put me back on the way. And, you know, my wife went home before me. I lost my leg. I lost my shoulder. I don't have most of my faces. Mine's crushed in. And you know what's happened over the years. But you made me a walking miracle, and I am your testimony. How wonderful you really are. You're so awesome. There's nobody like you. There's no one. There never will be. The devil thinks he's like you. He's nothing. And I call him nothing. We're not supposed to rail on him, Lord. I know that. You told me that, to stop railing on him. And you're right. because you love him too, even though you're enemies, you love him, you made him, you love all your creations, and, you know, we're supposedly your favorite one, and so that's awesome. You said it, I believe it, that's all I need. If you said it, it's true. I take your word, like, you know, as it says, black and white. If it says it's going to rain purple polka-dotted mules, that's what's going to happen. And I know this. I know this for a fact. It's not a wonder or a belief anymore. It's way beyond belief. It's like I know it. And you're part of me, and I'm part of you. And I thank you for that, and I ask that the people listening in, that you give them what they need, Lord, not what they want, but what they need. And show them, teach them like you did me, that you'll supply all our needs, every need we have, you will supply it. And our wants, not so much, unless it's good for us. And you're a good father. And I wanted to say thank you. You've been the best dad. I know my earthly father tried his best, but he was nothing like you. And nobody's ever taught me like you. And I thank you for that. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for loving these people and everybody out there. You're the most wonderful thing there is, and I hope they get to know that. I hope they can know you like I do. You're the best. And I just thank you for that. In your son's precious name, Yeshua, by his blood and by his spirit. And I say thank you. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Preacher Mike, we're going to have you on once a week or so, whatever you want to do. And I want to thank you for coming on. And Joe, Professor Joe, I want to thank you for coming on as well. So we're going to end the show. So thank you both, and we'll schedule you in, Mike. We're going to be talking.
Okay.